As I was praying about what I would share this evening, this is such a special occasion for me. I have never married one of my own children. And for all of our special honored guests, we're just so thankful that all of you are here to make this a wonderful night together. The Hensches family and the Lundstrom family have come together in this very happy occasion for the wedding of Mark and Londa. And as I think about marriage, the one thought that came to me is that marriage is a magnificent mystery. God has given many comparisons to our relationship with Him. The Lord speaks about the branches' relationship to the vine, the sheep to the shepherd, the father to the son. But the greatest analogy of all is the relationship of the bride to the bridegroom. Here's what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 30 through 32. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Romans 16:25 says, Now to Him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. This great secret is that God would be in us in a more intimate way than any two human beings could ever be joined here upon earth. In John 17, verses 20 through 22, Jesus said, Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them. That glory is the Holy Spirit, that they may be one even as we are one. So a Christian couple who are in a right relationship with God in Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, have a chance to become one in a greater way than anyone else. They can become one in God intellectually, one in God socially by loving other fellow Christians, and one in Christ spiritually. They're more than two becoming one flesh. They are two spirits becoming one spirit. And so that's why Christian couples have the advantage in this marriage relationship. 4.5 million couples this year will be going down the aisle getting married. But we know the divorce rate runs about 50% of that number. So that's why it's so important that couples find that spiritual union that really makes them one. God is love. He's the great amplifier of true love. Now, what does marriage say? Marriage says three things. Number one, I have found the other part of me. Connie will never forget when Londa came into the room. We were spending a couple of days in Hawaii, coming back from a crusade in Australia. And if Perry Kalavig has never done anything good in his ministry with us, he did one good thing in booking us into Australia, because this happy union began on the way back from Australia in Hawaii. Londa came up to the room and she told her mother, Oh, Mom, I have met an incredible guy. Mark, musing to himself, said, There's something different about this girl. Mark at that time had not made a perfect commitment as yet to Christ, and so he understood the spiritual values that he was seeing in Londa. And he said there was a strength that he saw in her that he wanted for his life. So when you actually get married, you're saying, I have found the other part of me. Here's what the Bible says. In Genesis 2 from the Living Bible, And the Lord God said, it isn't good for man to be alone. I will make a companion for him, a helper, suited to his needs. Then the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep and took one of his ribs and closed up the place where he had removed it and made the rib into a woman and brought her to the man. What was Adam's first response when he saw Eve? After looking at all of the elephants and the giraffes and the hippos and the rhinos and the rest of all of the animals, Adam looked up, and here's what the Living Bible says. He looked up and said, this is it. Adam exclaimed, she is part of my own bone and flesh, and her name is woman, because she was taken out of a man. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife in such a way that the two become one person. In our days of divorce, the greatest threat to marriage today is infidelity. People being unfaithful to one another. And I don't think a lot of people understand the tragic consequences of immorality. Because here's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:15 through 20. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The great tragedy of immorality, and I think we should speak to that in our day with so many couples, they say as high as 60% of all couples are unfaithful to each other, is that when you are joined to another person, there is a spiritual union between you and that person. And every time you divide yourself, you shatter the very inner person that you are. Until after a while, there's nothing left of you. You have pieced yourself out in too many places. Now, marriage says, I have found the other part of me, and God is the other part of you. Anyone who wants to live a complete life has to understand that God is the missing part of man. God wants to be with you, just like a bridegroom wants to be with his bride. God loves you and wants you to be with him, as close as the two greatest lovers on earth. Now, marriage also says, first it says, I have found the other part of me. Secondly, it says, I don't want to be free. Lovers spontaneously pledge their love and loyalty to each other. Even people who don't believe in God, when they fall in love, say, honey, I will be true to you. You're the only one I ever want to be with. True love carries with it commitment. And that's what you're saying. I don't want to be free. God wants you to love him with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love him enough that you and I separate ourselves unto God. That's what lovers do. Mark, there's a lot of beautiful girls that will feel less than what they were after the end of this week. They'll say, Mark is gone. And Londa, the word was going around Des Moines, Iowa, that there you let another good one go. In other words, they were speaking of you, that the single fellows should have really been there to keep you in Des Moines. However, you chose to separate yourselves from all others to make this your union. So you said, I don't want to be free. Now God says he wants you to love him in the same way. And God says in Jeremiah 3:14, turn backsliding children, saith the Lord, For I am married unto you. God says, I've married you. I love you. And even if you haven't been faithful to me, God says, I love you, I love you, I love you. And I want you to come back. And just like Hosea had an unfaithful wife, and he kept searching out to find where she was, and he brought her back and purchased her again. God loves us even as much as we've sinned. Thank God, he says, I'm married to you, and I want you back. You may have lost some of your honor, but you have never lost your preciousness. That's what God says. Now, some find God undesirable. In our secular society today, many simply say, I'm not interested in religion and God and Christ and all of this. But Jesus told this story in Matthew 22. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully, or handled them in a mean fashion, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was angry, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as were found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how did you come in not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Now Jesus understood that some people just simply don't care about God or about Christ. And maybe you're here tonight in Christianity and serving the Lord and living a holy life. Maybe this isn't your world. And that's surely every person's option. But the Bible says they were not worthy. They simply were not worthy. So he sent out his servants into the highways and byways and got everyone who would to come. So the wedding was furnished with guests, but there was another turn of events. One man came in that did not have on the right wedding garment. Now, in Bible days, most people were too poor to attend a wedding of a king. They didn't even have the clothes to wear. So the king would provide them with the right wedding garments. And when he came in, he found a man that didn't have the right garment. He said, how did you get in, friend? And the man was speechless. And see, there's coming a wedding very soon in heaven when the church, the body of believers, are gathered unto Christ. And the Lord is going to go around, and if someone does not have the right apparel, the right covering, they'll be cast out of heaven. Well, someone says, well, what is the right wedding garment? The Bible says Jesus Christ is our righteousness. Christ, the Son of the living God, bled and died upon the cross for all of our sins, so that every one of our sins could be forgiven, so that we could be robed in His righteousness, so that on that great wedding day in the heaven, when God comes around, He'll see that you and I are robed in Christ, and we'll have a place reserved for us at the wedding. God wills that every one of you be saved. Not one person in this house tonight should go lost. God loves you more than you'll ever realize. So marriage says, I have found the other part of me. Marriage says, I don't want to be free. Marriage also says, I hope there'll be three. Thank God for marriage. Without it, we wouldn't be here. And the sexual side of marriage is very real. In fact, the Bible says that marriage bed is honorable. God invented intimacy. And it's not something to be whispered around about on corners. It's something the Bible says that should be rejoiced in, but it should also have its proper place. So, because of this, you see, lovers who are together, first they like to hold hands, and then they like to embrace, and then they like to kiss, and then there's always the desire to get closer and closer together. And finally, as a result of that, there are more human beings on earth. That was God's ordained way. But this is also true as far as the Spirit is concerned. Because the closer you and I get to God, the more we want everyone to know about the Lord. And we want everyone to experience this new birth that all of us have experienced. That's why we're so evangelistic. So many people say, well, if they've got their religion, why don't they just bug off and leave me alone? You cannot get close to God without caring about the eternal destiny of your loved ones and friends. Anyone who's close to God says, I care about you, and I want to spend eternity with you. I want you to be in heaven. So that's how it happens, see? It's God and the bride, God and the church. See, it's God bringing us together. Now, children are often the saviors of marriage. If it weren't for children, there'd be a lot of couples broken up. One couple had so many problems, so many trials in their marriage, they decided to call it quits. So they were trying to be very friendly about their divorce. And before they went to the attorneys, they went through the house, dividing up the furniture. They went into the living room and one decided to take the piano and the chairs and the other one took the rest of the furniture. Then they would go into the bedroom and one would take the bed and the other would take the chest of drawers. And they went throughout the entire house dividing up their possessions without feeling anything because they felt their love was dead. Finally, they went upstairs into the attic. And while they were going through some of their keepsakes, they found their wedding picture. They found their Bible. And finally, one little baby booty tumbled out of the box. And years earlier, they'd lost the other one, and they knew that was the only baby booty left. And they both lunged for that little booty, and they both had their hands on it. And as they held on to that booty together, they looked at each other in the eye, and they realized in that moment they could not go through with their plans of divorce. Why? Because this was the one product of their union together that held them together. It was the one thing, the children. Someone said a successful marriage is not one in which two people beautifully matched find each other and live happily ever after, but marriage is a divine system by which two people, imperfect but forgiven, are caught up in a dream and a purpose bigger than themselves and work together with God to make that dream come true. A Christian marriage is more than finding the right person. It is being the right person. How will our spiritual marriage with God end? This is the best part. Revelation 19 tells us, this is the host of God's people in heaven. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife, the church, you and I as believers, has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed, or to be envied, are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Then the Bible says in the next chapter, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. This is our eternal home. Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. See, this is the great marriage. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle or the temple of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. This is the one time in the history of the universe where God moves his temple from heaven to earth. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, and I'll give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit everything, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. The masterpiece, the unusual masterpiece, the magnificent mystery is God with men. One last scripture. Jesus says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to what his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, that they may enter in through the gates into the city. For outside are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and makes a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David. Jesus says, I am the bright and morning star, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that you feel here tonight, and the bride, the church, all the Christians, the Holy Spirit and the church, the bride, say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Praise God. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we thank you that you have called us to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and that each of us are to be envied who are called. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that we as the bride of Christ will purify ourselves so that, Father, we'll be pure for that great day of unity with the Son of God. Cleanse us from all our sins in the blood that Jesus shed. Father, we thank you for the Messiah, Jesus. And we pray that you'll help us to prepare our hearts so we're ready, that our sins are all forgiven, so that our hearts are white as snow, so that we're clothed in the blood of Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Thank you for Mark and Londa. Thank you, Lord, for their love. And Lord, as you brought them together, Father in heaven, bring us together with yourself through Jesus, your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.